Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast, your number one Orlando City podcast for the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den Podcast. It's me, JJ. I'm your host tonight. That's right, Eddie. We gave Eddie the night off and a couple of other guys the night off. So you're stuck listening to me and to Cleon and to Ryder, Alex Ryder, that is, down in Southwest Florida. How you doing, Alex? You doing good, buddy?
Can't complain. Been a minute since we talked some footy. We took last week off, as did the club, and I think it was probably good for everybody. Let's hope that it gives us some points going into Minnesota on the weekend.
Awesome. And Cleon.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm good. Need a little break, I think, honestly, from all the debate and all the stressing over Orlando City. It was good to have a little week off. Not have to worry about nothing, man.
I've retired from all that stress and all that stuff. Just to be, I don't even listen to those things anymore. So let's get right to it. Let's first thank our sponsors. Eddie's his sponsorship. I was gonna say Liberty Mutual, but he's no longer with. Well, he is with Liberty Mutual, but he's with a different company, Comparian, I think it is. I don't know. I'm screwing this thing up really badly.
That sounds right.
Okay, an accurate mortgage for all your mortgage needs. Get with our good friend Leo Gonzalez at Accurate Mortgage. And then FieldTurf USA. FieldTurf, if you
saw, invite us back.
Yes, we want to go to Atlanta and make sure
or Charlotte.
We'll make sure that Cleon does not bring the belt and start fights there. Yeah. Okay. But
best ad read ever.
But yes, there you go. It is a good ad. So let's go to real quickly to the Nashville game. The Nashville, let's recap that game where we had.
Do we have to?
Yes, we yes, we do.
Very briefly. All right.
So it's going to be a real brief game recap, and it's going to be like this. We go, we played, and we lost 2-0. Really. Played like doo-doo. Mukhtar, of course, the killer. Hani Mukhtar scores from an assist from Shaq Moore. That was the second goal. The second goal was Fabrice Piccolo, or whatever his name is. And he got an assist from Hani Mukhtar. That was on the 28th minute. Facundo Torres didn't start, but came in the 46th minute. And really was there, and then
bother me, man.
And then Hani Mukhtar, basically, Cleon, tell us a little bit, why did it bother you?
That bothered me, man, because we've been saying it since the beginning of the year. Everyone's talking with the whole, oh, it's because we're not gelling, this, that, or whatever. And you know, we got knocked out of a CCL, okay, you know, that was kind of expected, but I feel like we've gone game after game, week after week, and we're still not using these opportunities to play these guys together. You know, for a full game and let them start to gel. Because we've seen at the beginning, they look like they get each other's way. A lot of times they're off with trying to pass to each other. A lot of times Ojeda will be, you know, he'll try to, you know, they'll get to the final third and he tries to make a pass to Faku, but it's you know, it's not where Faku likes it. He'll make a Ojeda make passes into like the box for Faku to run onto, but everybody knows Faku doesn't run onto balls. He likes to just get them at his feet, dribble around the top of the box and fire. He doesn't really like to go inside of the box too much. But Ojeda, he hasn't learned that yet. And I just feel like we keep blowing these chances to use these games to start getting these guys on the same page. You know what I mean? And like, what are we going to be? We're going to be 15 games to the season talking about, oh, we're still trying to gel and crap like that, man.
All right. Whose fault is this?
Well, that part's the coach. I mean, to me, okay. Obviously, and, I mean, it really ain't nobody else you can blame for that.
And when are we going to stop saying it's still early in the season?
I've been saying it the whole time. I've been done with that.
And everything. Alex, what are your thoughts on the Nashville game? And do you agree with Cleon on his take?
I agree that the opportunities that we have to get all of these great players to gel and to look good on the pitch, that time it has, I think this was the last like training wheels before we really take the gloves off and say, okay, it's more than just player personnel. We got to figure this out, or changes have to be made. And I'm just not just talking about the coach. Yeah, we can talk about the coach all day long. It's been the fan base's favorite pastime for 2 weeks. But at the end of the day, players got to score too. And one thing I will say about Facundo, he gets a very, very small, minuscule pass for me. And so did Pedro. Pedro didn't have a good night in goal. I mean, don't get me wrong. Kyle Smith wasn't doing him any favors. We can talk about that in a minute, especially on that second goal. But Pedro and Facundo had just come back from international duty. I don't believe Facundo played, but Pedro played and then also had to deal with all kinds of extracurriculars after the fact. And I think that just unfortunately was a little tiny bit of fatigue on their part. It's no excuse. These are professional players. They got to measure up to it. But I think this is it. I think this is the last one where we get to say, okay, there were factors outside of our control. Guys, we've had a bye week. We didn't play. They've been training. Almost everybody's healthy. I know that there were one or two knocks, but other than that, this is it. We gotta go into Minnesota and at least show that we know how to score goals again. Speaking of goals, the second goal entirely Kyle Smith not marking in the box, but for the first goal, was the ball still moving? I never really think we got a legitimate consensus on how we thought about that. I thought it looked like it was still moving when he put it down to take the free kick, but that's just me.
I mean, I guess it could have been a little bit, but I mean, at the same time, nobody even attempted to even slow that down on our end. Like we had Cesar was right there. Mauricio was right there who fouled him, I believe. Both of those two were literally standing right next to the guy and just let him do it. Like there was no attempt to even put any type of pressure on that kick at all or slow it down or anything.
Stand in the way.
They did nothing. They just watched it.
Fault players for doing that, but that's smart play. You don't lead to getting caught on the back foot, and even such a great goalkeeper as Pedro just lets an easy one get chipped over his head. So, and those are the kinds of goals that cost us points in tough situations like this. So,
you know what, Alex, on top, speaking of that part with the, we're kind of skipping over. We went from the fast kick on fast restart and Pedro getting chipped, but we're kind of missing that part in between that nobody's really talking about. We've now seen Robin Jansen get scored on this exact same way. This is like the third time at this point this season. Where I don't know what's going on here, bro, but it's Somebody got to get something together, bro. But I think we talking about passes. I think he's getting a little pass on this because this is about the third time already.
You think it's his pace, seen this. Or do you think it's
no? Because the dude,
you think it's his paying attention to the ball.
I don't know because on TV it's hard to say on TV because it's you know you don't really see them in the picture until you know, like that game, I didn't go to that. I watched that game on TV. But on you know, on the broadcast, they don't show that far back until the ball's kind of headed that direction. The camera's mostly focused on you know, where the foul happened and then the kick, and then they follow the ball in the air. But I guess I'd have to see a little lead up before that. But I don't know what he's doing wrong, but and we've seen it with Rodrigo too back there, but this is on Johnson's side in particular. This has happened. This is like the third time.
Cleon, let me ask you this: if you're seeing this issue, and you've already said it three times, right? Robin Johnson has done it, and now you're seeing Rodrigo.
It's almost like they're game planning for it now, bro. Because it's not even the same team.
The coaches be seeing the same thing and saying, "Hey, there's something wrong here," you know. Let's fix this. You know, if you're able to see it with your naked eye, couldn't the coaches see it? And why are we not fixing this? And that's three goals, basically. You know, if people that know soccer and are able to see this, why can't our coaches not be able to see it? And that's what frustrates me a lot is like, we're seeing things out on the field that it happens almost, it's happening every time. Why aren't we getting this fixed? What's going on? You know, that's to me, it bothers me. What are our coaches doing? They should be seeing the mistakes and fixing it. You know, that's where I think basically the coach needs to come in, the assistant coaches or whatever. We need to fix the problem. If a Joe Cool freaking fan is able to see these mistakes day in and day out, you know, I don't know. Something's going on, you know, that's just me.
It's not Joe Cool. His name's Cleon Cool. Thank you very much.
I'm not saying,
hey, Cleon. What's up?
Cleon, you got other people that probably see the whole different things too.
Also, what's going on with Carlos, man?
Why isn't he not playing?
Bro, I don't know. What is going on?
He's not on the injury report.
He's not injured. He hasn't been injured.
In the injury report?
No, he's not injured. He's been active and available.
He was on the bench for Nashville.
Yes, bro. He's been active and available since Tigres. So, I mean, is Slagle just the starter now or what? Because, I mean, the dude, he can't be injured. If he was so injured to where we can't play him, and Tigres was how many weeks ago at this point? Four games?
That was some month ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, the dude's been available since then. If he's not healthy, he's not going to be in the 18. If he's not, like, for him to be active way back then and still not be on the pitch now, if it was injury-related, he wouldn't have been active all this time. That's the way I see it, because that would mean he's nowhere near ready to play for it to be a month since he's been active and not seeing the pitch. I mean, is Poppy just preferring to play Slagle? That's been a roller coaster in itself, man. So it's like, and we're getting killed in the air. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. But there's a lot of questions, you know, that are surrounding Orlando City. Let's change a little bit, not really change the subject, but let's talk about winning at home. I want to go to winning at home. Why is it that we can't win at home? What's the reason? It seems like we play better on the road than we do at home, and we should be winning at home. What is that? Alex, do you have an idea? Do you have anything that you would like to bring up?
I mean, winning at home, it's funny you bring that up, and a lot of people harped on that last season, but we ended the season with, I think it was five out of our last seven we won, including the Open Cup. So we had a good homestand, and we actually didn't do all that great on the road. I mean, that includes our Open Cup hangover game, but this season we've done mediocre at home, mediocre on the road. It's a matter of the fact that it doesn't look like we're doing great at home. I don't know any reason. I know you've got a take, and I'm not gonna take that thunder from you, but I don't think it's any particular reason other than we can't score. And we'll talk, we can have that conversation later.
You know what? But going back, I don't think we could even go back and say, well, last year we weren't that bad at home. Because if we're counting Open Cups, then it's like, you got to realize at the end of those 90, how many of those Open Cups did we have to go to extra time? You know what I mean? If that's a regular game, that's what I'm saying. If that's a regular game, that match is ending in a draw. That's still not ending in a win. You know what I mean? Like we had like, I believe like two PK shootouts, one, I think in extra time or something like that. Like those in a regular match, those were going to be draws too. You know what I mean? And a lot of those matches in the first 90 were 0-0, 1-1, stuff like that.
But what is it that I'm starting to think that we have a curse, in Orlando, to be honest with you? Why can't we not win at home? I mean, is it the fans? I mean, the fans, I don't know. I there's something that is bothering me. We cannot win at home where we should be able to win. We have the fans, they're cheering, they're doing everything. We've got the wall, we have everything. What is it? You know, what is it, the problem that we can't win? And the only thing I could see is tactical. It's coaching. And you know, I go back to this Nashville game. I don't give a hoot and nanny, you know, put your best lineup out there. Felipe's not your best lineup.
Never.
Put your best lineup out there, man. We're already out of the Champions League, okay? So now guess what? We need to go out there and we need to win. Now it's time for Support the Shield playoffs. We're not even in U.S. Open. So let's not even worry about U.S. Open. Let's get these points that we have right now. When we get into the U.S. Open, let's then concentrate on U.S. Open to try to I guess, you know, try to win that again or something. But when you have Facundo, when he only plays, I think it was 20 minutes in one game. I think it was against Japan or whoever it was. Start him. That's our DP. That's our guy. Why are we bringing him in the 46th minute when we're already down 1-0? You should put your best lineup out there all the time. And I don't know what Oscar's doing. He needs to put his lineup out there the best time. And I don't want to hear excuses about, it's still early, we have plenty of time. Well, we're already out of the Champions League, so it's not early for that because we already got kicked out of that. Soon we're going to be falling in the – and luckily there's 9 spots, playoff spots this year. But I mean, if we start losing, we're going to be out of that contention and Supporter Shield. Then what's next? Oh, we got U.S. Open. And if we get beat by one team, it only takes one team to beat us. Okay, we'll be out of that too. We got to play to win all the time and stop with this. They're not
that's
ready.
What you just said, that's what it is right there. Like even with your, why don't we win at home? So it's not even just home. Why don't we win anywhere? It's because we don't play. We're not setting up to win the game. We're setting up to not lose the game. There's a difference. Like I said, this on like 3 pods back. There's a difference coaching to not lose it, to try not to lose a game, and coaching to try to win a game. They're 2 totally separate things. And walking away after a draw and be like, oh, we got a result. That's not a result, man. That's not. It's not. That's a glorified loss. It's 1 point. That does nothing. That does nothing. It takes three draws to make up for one win, bro. That's why you got teams. That's why you got trash teams that's literally sitting above us right now, like Chicago. Because they won a game. And all it took was one game for them to go jump us. And it happens every single season. Where we jump out and we'll go out and we're pulling draw after draw after draw, squeeze a win here and there, you know, but you're winning two games out of every eight and, you know, getting a bunch of draws and a couple losses here and there. And be like, oh, we're doing great because we only lost two. Yeah, but you didn't win any of them. You need to win the game. You need to be getting 3 points. That's what you need to do.
Three draws equal one win.
Exactly. You're better off. Bro, it's not even equal because as I said this last time. If you play three games and you win one game and you lose two, and another team plays three games and they draw all three, the team that won the game is ahead of you in the standings. Mm-hmm. Even though they lost two of them games and you're so-called undefeated. Yeah, but you're winless too. That's not the same thing. Playing to not lose a game is not the same as playing to win a game. And that's what we need to do. That mentality has to go, man.
Well, here's one other thing to actually support that idea. I know it's a mentality, but if you look at it, we've been in the season so far for 45 days. We've had eight matches, and all but the Nashville match have been decided by one goal or less. Every single one. And for the four of those in between there, from Cincinnati to the second Tigres game, were all draws. But even in a match where a draw wasn't actually good, we didn't go out there and get what we needed. And that's it. It is a mentality, but it's also about the thing that we keep harping on is scoring and clicking when you score. And that's both tactile and players got to come together and understand how they have to work with each other. And are they getting opportunity because of coaching, or are they just not doing it because they're having withdrawal seasons? It's the seasons thing. Who's having a good season, who's having a bad season is going to be determined very soon. But the coaching, it's definitely starting to show. It's a matter of how much longer can we dwell on that.
Let's go while you're talking about that, Alex. Let's talk about your stock up, stock down. Who do you have as stock up right now, and who do you have as stock down?
Stock up, I don't think I don't think anybody, maybe the Orlando City marketing team, but we can talk about that later. Stock down, Kyle Smith. I think Kyle Smith.
All right.
I don't think he's, I love him, but I don't think he's going to make it anymore. His time is coming soon.
Cleon, your stock up and your stock down.
Stock up, I'm going to go, I'm going to keep it at N'Golo right now. He's been the only one that's been consistent, you know what I mean? And what he brings every night, not counting Pedro, cause you know, Pedro's Pedro, but, N'Golo's been the only one he's been pretty consistent in what he brings every night and without really having drop offs. For a stock down, I would have went with Smith as well, honestly. I think he's past it, man. I want to like bash a dude, but he's like, he looked like he regressed last season, but now he's looking like he's regressed even more. And so like, he doesn't look like he's a MLS like actual in the 18 player anymore to me.
I agree with you on N'Golo. As stock up, that he's the only one that, you know, to me, even though he messes up, but you're right, he's like consistent, where he has sparks of energy that, you know, something that he finds a way to do it, I guess, and everything. My stock down, Is Kyle Smith. I mean,
unanimous.
I don't want to say I've never been a fan of the guy. to me, I just don't think he's an MLS player. He got in with JOC, you know, from Louisville. He's a USL player. He's not an MLS player. To me, I think he could do much better. That right back is really hurting. Mikey Halliday, he's been playing good, and I know he just came from the U.S. national team, and that's probably why he didn't play, and Kyle Smith had to play. But if we had to, we play Angulo like we did in the preseason. Have Petrasso side and Gula on the other side, and have three defenders. You know,
I don't want to cut you real quick, but as you said that, Halliday, like when we say Halliday, he's playing good. Has he really played good, or is he played good for a kid?
He's playing good for a kid, which means that his stock is going up, but not where it should be.
Let me put it to you like this. Not just Mikey, but this goes for Petrasso as well. I feel like actually both. As a matter of fact, that's probably, if I didn't want to go with Kyle Smith, that's probably who I also would have went for stock down is Petrasso. Mm-hmm. And you could just go for that whole left back position. Neither one of those dudes look like it to me. Petrasso, he showed a little sparks here and there. He seems okay when he played him as like a pure wing back, like not even in a back four, like you have to be in the three with the, you know, the wing backs up.
Yep.
He looks fine when he's like that, but he's had some moments, bro, like some bad moments too, where he's, you know, he's causing breakdowns as well. And I feel like both of our fullback spots, they've just been lacking. Like Mikey, I agree, he's been the best one out of the four that's played, which is Petrasso, Mikey, and Kyle Smith and Santos for the little bit he's played. None of those dudes have looked like what a contending team's fullbacks will look like. Let's put it that way.
We don't have any fullbacks. And I've been saying this, you know, even if you kept Ruan, I wouldn't have been happy. We do not have. The last fullback that I think that was decent, that was good, was Ron Montino.
Well, yeah.
Why he's playing.
Bro, he might be the only one that's legitimately good while he's been in Orlando City uniform. Let me word it like that. Like, legitimately good. And then the next closest was then Juan for the first couple years before he had that little quick decline. Kyle Smith, Kyle Smith, he looked like he was at least an MLS player. I would say he looked like he did. I won't agree he always looked the USL, but definitely the last two seasons, he's looked like he does belong on this level to me.
But Cleon, what about Breck Shea?
No. No.
Hey,
look at his face.
Not because I'm Portuguese or anything, but Rafael Ramos, you got to put him there. He's probably one of our best fullbacks.
Oh, I couldn't even say that with a straight face. Not Rafael Ramos, Breck Shea.
Yeah. Sutter? No, just the sexy legs on that one.
Luke Bowden?
No, none of them, bro.
We got Luke Bowden. No.
I'm
singing.
Even Rafa, like, it's hard. Rafa was a hard case because he was here. He was always injured. So even for him, it's like, it's hard for me to say he was good like that. And he's a good player now, mm-hmm. for sure. But while in purple, I know that first season, I thought he was very good. Mm-hmm. Then the injuries just killed him from that point on after that. Like, it was hard to have any consistency. Like, if you're talking about, like, our top right backs that have been here, he's even with the inconsistency, I would say, yeah, he's probably top three.
All right. All right, let's talk about Minnesota coming into town. We're on a bye week. Minnesota, we always like Minnesota because that's our former head coach of Orlando City, Adrian Heath. He's been with them for about, what, 5-6 years now? Still hasn't won anything. Maybe it's still the process plan that he's trying to do. Now he brings in his baby Heath and going. Basically to Minnesota. I think what Harrison now is what the assistant coach of or scouting or something. I have no clue. But going back to does this bye week gonna hurt us against Minnesota? Or is it gonna help us against Minnesota? Cleon.
Well, I mean, we just got a butt whooped 2-0, so I mean it can't get worse. I mean, unless we lose 3-0, I guess. So I mean, it can't really hurt us. I would say, does it? It's questionable if it even does us any good. It's not going to do us any good unless we're using this time to actually make changes, tactically, lineup wise, all that. You know what I mean? Unless we're using that time to do that, it's not like we're banged up and injured or something. I don't even believe we're tired, honestly. I don't even think we have a tired team.
Shouldn't be tired.
Yeah, so, no, we shouldn't. Rest. I don't think, I mean, we've been out of Champions League forever. You know what I mean? At this point, we've been out forever, bro. So it's like, we're not playing any more than anyone else is playing. It's not later in the season for everyone else as it is us. It's early for everybody. Everyone's playing the same amount of games. We can't be using the Champions League excuse still a month later. Like, there's, you know what I mean? Like, it's whatever faults we're having, it's on us, man. And it's like, at some point, you got to stop the excuses. And I don't mean you guys, I just mean just fans in general. You got to stop the excuses, man, and always coming up with an excuse for why we're doing this or that. It's early season. Okay, it's early season for the other team playing us, too. Oh, it's hot outside. Okay, they're playing in the heat too. Like, you know what I mean? It's not just us. When that's not just these situations are just unique to us. Like, everyone is dealing with the same thing. So, like, you know what I mean? LAFC, they still playing in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
They're fine.
They fine.
Yeah. Haven't lost a match yet.
No.
Alex, what is your thoughts about the bye week here? Is this going to help Orlando? Is this going to really, who knows? Who? I mean, is it really going to help them, not going to help them? And what do you think with Minnesota coming in, what we're going to do?
This bye week is going to make or break our season. I honest to God think so. I don't think it's going to be dependent on our result going into Minnesota per se, but I think that the decisions that were going to help us or hurt us have already been or are being made as we speak and or have already been made.
Explain that.
Depending on time. Yeah. Because it's that I don't think, and I would have to look at the calendar again, but I don't think we're going to get another big break like this unless we crash out of the League's Cup in the group stage, which I don't think is going to happen because we're playing those games at home. It's going to be a relatively big crowd. They're going to advertise the crap out of it.
You know, Santos Laguna beat us at home last time, right?
Yeah, that's a revenge game. That was a 1-0 game. It's a revenge game. We're a better team since we played that match. But at the same time, I think that We had two problems, basically. We have, like you guys were talking about, the wingbacks. Are they actually going to be making new decisions? I mean, the Jansen thing, maybe, but that's a training thing, and he's also getting old. But the scoring. Can our DPs and can our bench offensive players gel together enough for a 90-minute match to score enough goals to lift us to 3 points? And that's a question we've been needing to answer. We've been lacking with the goals. On paper, we should be scoring more, but that's on paper. In practicality and with strategy, not looking that way. So the changes need to be made. And if they weren't made and we go into Minnesota and we look real bad, not like, oh, we get a draw. If we look bad and we get blown out 3-0 or 4-1, it's going to look real bad. The optimist.
Not yet.
I know you're very hot seat, but not yet. I mean, we a lot's going to have to happen to get me to say that, because I love him for what he's done, but we have to be realistic. And the conversation for being realistic is not too many bad losses away. So it was a make or break weekend. I hope that the boys put in the training. I hope that the coaches put in their time, and we'll see it out there on the pitch, but we'll see. There's three scenarios. We're talking about excuses. There's three scenarios of how this match is going to go. We beat them in any way, shape, or form, and we say, oh, the rest was great. We did awesome. They did everything we needed them to do. Awesome. We draw, and it's like, meh, changes still need to be made, or we're still looking a little rusty. We looked rusty. We didn't get the result we needed, and the guys were tired, or not tired, were rusty from not playing in 2 weeks, whatever. Or we lose, and it's like nothing has been changed. There are no excuses left. Burn it all to the ground. And I'm hoping, I'm hoping for something in between the at this point. The optimist in me doesn't want it all bad, but I don't want to go all great. I want to see progress from the Nashville game. That's all I want to say.
All right. Well, my thing is this. If we lose, you said a word there, Alex, burn everything down. I think it's time to burn everything down. When Bayern Munich gets rid of their coach because they just want to get rid of him, and they're in the Champions League quarterfinals still and everything, and we're over here talking about Poppy. I love what he's done for us. Great. He's got us a U.S. Open Cup. I'll give him that. What else has he done for us, folks? What else has he done? That's my question to you guys all. What else has he done? He's gotten us a U.S. Open. He's gotten us to the point where he's going to get us. Okay. I don't think he's going to get us any further. He's got great, there's a saying, if you don't have, in soccer, if you don't have eggs, you can't make an omelet, right? Well, Orlando City has eggs. They can make a great omelet. They got plenty of good eggs. And he's not using those ingredients or using it the correct way to make that great omelet. So there's got to be something. Okay. You go up to Minnesota, you lose. I think Oscar Pereja is more than in the hot seat, especially in Minnesota. And what's the Minnesota? The Minnesota Vikings. Who owns the Minnesota Vikings? The Wilfs. They might as well just ship them right on out of there from Minnesota. So you lose, he's out. That's my thing. I don't know what else to say. And if he comes with a weird lineup and not have your best lineup out there, I think it's like he's throwing in the white flag for me, you know? So it's a big win. It's a big must win for Orlando City this weekend, especially having 2 weeks off. You got plenty of practice in. Okay, there was no international break. There was no nothing. So your team is all there. Everybody's there. Listen, there's no excuse that you shouldn't win and have your best team out there. That's just me. Some people might think that I'm crazy for saying this, but I think it has to be done and it has to be said. And the other thing that has to be said is, listen, this isn't Seminole Soccer Club. This isn't Florida Rush. This isn't Central Florida Craze and Crush. These are professional players that are out there playing. So when Johnny's not doing good, Johnny should be getting screamed at, especially when I'm paying top dollar for my ticket. Okay. When the coach isn't doing good, the coach needs to be yelled at for not doing good. Okay. I'm not going to be saying, hey, Johnny, sorry, you missed the goal with a wide open net. You'll get him next time there, Johnny. Don't put your head down. You're good. A former player, two former players, actually three former players, and you can guess who they are, told me once, I love playing in Orlando. The fans never get mad at me. We lose, or we lose four in a row, they're still out there asking for autographs and pictures. Three players have told me that. That tells you something right there. They don't care. Until the fans start saying things to these players and these coaches and showing that we don't accept what they do, these players are going to continue doing the same thing. They don't care. They're making their money. You actually think that they care? No, they don't care. So there's my little rant. Sorry, guys, but that's something I had to say.
Well, my only thing, I don't think it even has to do with us not scoring, us not winning games. I don't think it has anything to do with fans at all. Whether they're too hard, too soft, any of it. Because I mean, shoot, Atlanta, LAFC, bro, they never those teams are going on winning stuff and they had never faced any adversity with their fans one bit.
Yep.
And heard nothing but cheers ever in their entire existence. And they're still out there putting it in, bro. It's for me, it just all comes down to it all just comes down to tactics. It comes down to how are you playing. It'll be one thing if we had the old roster, but we don't. You know what I mean? So if we're out there losing and we're losing and we got our best two center backs out there, we got our best fullbacks out there, we got our best midfielders out there, best wingers, best strikers, and we're still losing, then okay, I could put that on some players. Be like, y'all ain't working. But when we're going out there and we're not scoring and you can see visual changes in players depending on the situation of the game, you know, whether it's a score line to where taxes have been thrown out the window and all of a sudden, ooh, look, everyone remembers how to play and everyone remembers how to score and everyone remembers how to attack. To me, that's all tactic driven. That's training. and all of that. So it's like, I don't know. For me, I just feel it's not. It's all about tactics. It's all about the lineup. Put your best one out there. And for me, this break, like, please just settle on a striker. This has got to be settled. We're talking about like gelling and stuff like that in these attackers. But why are we playing merry-go-round with our striker every game?
What happened to striker by committee?
You see LAFC doing striker by committee?
We're not LAFC. I'm sorry.
Because we don't act like it.
And that's why
you saw me tweeting about LAFC. I love watching LAFC, but I'm jealous. Yeah. But
apparently, we're not even Austin, or we're not even St. Louis, because you don't see them playing merry-go-round with their striker either. You know what I mean? If you got attackers, you put them out there. They supposed to be your dudes. They're supposed to carry. You put them out there. You leave them out there. Period. If you got to play three strikers, that means you don't have one. That's the way I see it. If you play three, you're saying you. What?
No, finish.
Yeah, go.
Oh, I thought you had another thought, but let me ask you this. If Carr starts three games in a row and he doesn't do well, is that how this conversation is going to go? Or are we going to say, okay, bring on the merry-go-round again?
No, I'm saying just bench it, dude, and start somebody else. Like, it's Carr for me. Carr's had his chance for me. Me personally, if you're asking me, Carr's had his chance. It don't work.
I mean, I agree with you, that's why we're in the predicament we're in.
Okay, Carr, we haven't seen Carr. We haven't seen Carr since when? So, but we're still. Carr's been out the picture completely, and he's still doing the merry-go-round.
The last time I heard his name was in association with the second leg of the Champions League.
Exactly, that was a long time ago. Like Carr's been out of the picture, injured or whatever's going on for a long time, and we're still doing a merry-go-round. So it's like, you know what I mean? If you're sitting there playing it, and he was benched before that, even before that. You know what I mean? If you're going to start Enrique, start Enrique. If you're going to start Duncan, start Duncan. Stop doing this crap where you're switching up and dudes, like, these two guys need to learn how to play together. We're already not playing Faku and Ojeda at the same time and pulling one off, oh, let one start, let one sit, all this type of stuff. All those dudes, they need to play together.
That won't be an excuse for a while.
All those dudes all play, put them out there, let them play together, and see if it works. If it don't work, then you need to get somebody or multiple people up out of here by July. Period. So it's stop with the merry-go-round. And it's not, I'm not even, Carr wasn't even in the equation for me because we haven't seen that dude since Champions League. You know what I mean? So we're still sitting there doing the merry-go-round bit. If Enrique's your guy, start Enrique. If Duncan's the guy, start Duncan. If Carr's your guy, start Carr. But you can't just keep doing this crap where nobody's gonna know. Those are three dudes that play completely different from each other. Completely. They're neither one of those guys are the same, not even remotely the same. So when you sit there and you got Ojeda, you got Faku, even Angulo, or even a little further back, Mauricio. Like, they have to learn how to play together. So you need to stick, you need to decide who are your guys and leave them out there and let them figure it out. You can't just keep pulling the string or pulling the rug on them every other game, bro. It's like, it's a mess.
All right, let's go on real quickly. Been about an hour here. Predictions. For the Minnesota game, Alex, what's your prediction for that game?
I'm going to say the middle ground that I was talking about earlier. I think this is a 2-2 draw. I say that we find a little bit of our scoring feet, but we still get asked some questions of our defensive starters.
Cleon.
My brain's telling me 2-1 loss, bro. And I really don't want to say that. But that's what's in my head. 2-1 right. Loss.
I'm going to say 2-0 loss. I don't think we scored. Ooh. So, I feel like we're going back to like 6-7 years ago. We're predicting losses now constantly. Let's go to shout outs real quick. I'm going to go real quickly and do a quick shout out. Shout out to Exploria Stadium. Shout out to, I don't know if Orlando City, probably Orlando City. Two big things happening that during the summer that it's going to be pretty big. You got Fulham against Aston Villa at Exploria for the Premier League summer showcase or whatever it's called here in the United States. We're able to get the Fulham against Aston Villa on Wednesday. I don't know if it's June 26th or July 26th. I think it's June 26th.
It's July.
July.
I'm pretty sure it's July.
Yeah, July. So big shout out to Exploria Stadium in Orlando City for getting that. And then they got the beautiful game, Roberto Carlos versus Ronaldinho. And that was last year. It happened at DRV stadium in Fort Lauderdale. This year they brought it up to Exploria Stadium. So great idea. Nani played in that tournament, or not tournament, that game. Higuita, the former goalkeeper for Colombia back in the day.
Man, I thought you meant my boy.
And not Christian. Higuita. And then they also had Vinicius from Real Madrid. He played. So you had all the stars come out for that one. So those tickets are already on sale, and they're actually pretty cheap too. So go and get tickets for that. It's called The Beautiful Game. It's Ronaldinho versus Roberto Carlos, two legends, Brazilian legends, and great lineup. Last year was a great lineup. They had Chad Ochocinco out there playing, trying to get a PK when he fell on his butt. So, but two great events that are coming to the summer. I'm excited for those because Orlando City, you ain't got me excited. Alex, your shout out.
I feel like I have two, but I'm going to save my second one for a more negative time. I have a very positive shout out. Shout out. I hinted at this earlier. Shout out to the Orlando City marketing team and to Adidas. I'm sorry, but anyone that has negative things to say about the Orlando Sea Cows, I don't even care that we lost the match that we wore these tops during. The Orlando Sea Cows jerseys are absolutely fantastic. Mine finally came in the mail today. It's such a creative thing to see the club doing, taking a 9-year-old joke from when we were still in USL, and continuously, I think this is the third or fourth run, to make some merch and make some money off of it and just generally have fun with it. I love it. The kit is awesome. I haven't bought our last two official on-field kits. They're too expensive for my blood right now, but this was one of those things where I saw it tweeted about, saw it advertised, thought it was all a joke. And then they're like, oh no, we made it. Here's the link. And I'm pretty sure from the time that the tweet dropped to the time that money had hit my bank account was about 90 seconds. It took a lot longer to get to my house, but that's the joys of shipping in 2023. So shout out to them. Shout out to the creativity. Shout out to the fun. I want to know, is this one of the most profitable sports prank April Fool's jokes of all time? Got to know. Someone out there, please tell me, because I would love to know.
All right. Cleon, your shout out.
I'd like to shout out all the fellas with the positive, with the body positivity, like my boy JJ. Back to feeling himself, feeling good as usual. He's back to doing podcasts with no shirt on. looking good.
He's going
looking,
on YouTube.
Looking good as ever. He said we on YouTube, but I don't care. I'm going back shirtless, like always, like the good old days. You know what I mean? I love it. I love the confidence. I love the swag. You know, all you ladies he's taking, so sorry about your luck. Try again next time. You know, maybe circumstances change, but hopefully not. You know, so anyway.
That's all
I got. No, it was just for you and your shirtless physique all so long.
Well, thank
he
you.
He doesn't get these opportunities often, so he's got to take him, JJ.
Got to take him. I haven't been on for some time. I'll let you boys handle this, you know. But I have been on Den After Dark, so you can always check me out after every game. Den After Dark, that's when my cursing comes full effect. I drop like 9 F-bombs and a record 30 seconds, I think it is. So, but definitely Den After Dark, check us out. I host that along with some of my podcast guys. Cleon's on sometimes when he can make it. Writers on sometimes. Mike, Eddie, Swag, everybody, all of us at Orlando Lions did. But yeah,
gonna be extra after dark this week with the 8:30 Eastern kickoff.
Yeah. Is it 8:30 kickoff? I didn't even know.
8:30 because it's they're in different time zones, so it's 7:30 local.
Okay.
Yeah, so it will be Dead After Dark will be on until probably around 11:30. So we'll be definitely
please make it 11. I would like to go to sleep at some point.
It depends on when the game ends. Let's see. So 8:30 start time, 9:15 halftime, 9:30. Yeah, it's probably 10:30 start time.
It's not going to be 20 minutes of stoppage time like there was in the New York
21
match. 21 minutes.
21.
All right. Well, we are just to want to let everybody know we are Orlando City, you know, fans. We love our Orlando City. We've been doing this for 6 years. So, you know, when we talk negative, it's because we're frustrated. We just want our team to win and we want them to win. And so don't feel like, you know, we're all here. We're all Orlando City fans, and we're all here for one thing, is for us to win championships and be the best soccer team in the world, you know, in the MLS, wherever. So that is our goal. So when you hear us, you know, we're bashing or whatever, just remember the players go on to other places. Coaches go on to other places, but guess who stays? It's us fans. We stay here forever. And we're the one that kisses the badge, and we're the ones that give the money. You know, the players all leave. They go and see you later. They go to Chicago. They think it's better in Europe, and then come back to Chicago. And they go, you know, other places. So, but guess what? We stay as fans, as always.
That wasn't direct at all.
No, it wasn't.
What was that about?
No clue.
Who am I talking about? But we're all here. So, vamos, Orlando. Let's kick some butt. Let's continue, and let's love our team. Vamos. Till next time, right here on Orlando Lions Den Podcast.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.